You're listening to Reality Sandwich Radio, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, and our planet, community, and economy. To learn more about the Healthful Living model, go to healthfulliving.org. Reality Sandwich is hosted by Julie Matthews, Certified Nutrition Consultant, and Martin Matthews, Certified Medical Hypnotherapist. Past episodes of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Stop. Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby.
You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You've reached Reality Sandwich with Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant, and every Thursday at noon on Reality Sandwich, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on mind, bodies, and topics of the planet. And today we have in the studio some very fun guests. We have Maria Iurillo, who is a licensed midwife, and she has with her three moms and adorable little babies. And so we have them on today to talk about natural childbirth. And so let me go ahead and introduce Maria.
Okay, hello. Well, I'm Maria, and I have a practice, a home birth practice here in San Francisco. And these are some of my favorite moms and favorite babies. So I'm going to have them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Melissa Gloria. I'm 35, and I'm here today with my first baby, Wiley. He's 3 months old this week, and we are kind of new to the San Francisco area. We moved here about 2 years ago from Washington, D.C.
Oh, great. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Anne, and I, too, am new to the area. I'm from New York City, so I didn't know that, Melissa. Welcome. And I had a home birth with Graham and Maria, and Graham is 6 months, and he will probably want to talk as well a little bit.
All right.
Hi, I'm Jamie Glowacki, and I'm here with Pascal, who's 3.5 months, and he'll probably also want to do a little singing. I'm not new to the area, had a home birth with Maria. See, I'm a performer, amongst other things, and I am doing a show about dating in the city with a three-month-old baby.
Ooh.
Called Coffee, Cosmos, and Come On. It's November 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Next Stage Theater.
Have fun.
All right, I'm going to that. Okay, so what we're here to do today is to promote an event that's happening on September 30th, and it's a kickoff picnic for the California Association of Midwives. And what we're trying to do is mobilize a grassroots consumer base to support midwifery. So what we want to do today is describe a little bit of what midwifery care is like and why it's the best thing on earth and why perhaps you should think about choosing that option for your baby or your delivery. So Melissa, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about what midwifery care is about, kind of what your midwifery care was like. And also, tell us, how did you decide to have a midwife?
Okay, well, when I first ever thought about having a baby, I thought that the water birth idea sounded great, because I've always loved the water. And I just thought that seemed like a pleasant way to give birth. But that was many years ago, and my husband, Wiley's dad, and I, initially, when we first found out we were pregnant, immediately went to a OB practice where there were midwives, but it was with doctors. And we did the traditional care in the beginning. Usually in traditional care, they don't start seeing you till about 12 or 13 weeks. So we spent our first trimester, I had really bad morning sickness. And so I spent that first trimester not really having any answers and really not knowing what was going on. I was taking prenatal yoga because I love to do yoga. And my yoga teacher was a midwife. And she talked about natural Jane Austen, who... Yes, she's awesome. She teaches at Yoga Tree and at Yoga Studio, and I would highly recommend her. But through attending her classes, I kind of started thinking more and more about natural childbirth. And I got some recommendations for midwives from her. And I told my husband I thought I might want to have a home birth. And he had quite a reaction to that. Threw a little tantrum and said he couldn't take it. What was I thinking? You know, that was crazy. But Wiley doesn't like that part. He likes the home birth idea. My husband and I, he said we could at least interview midwives. And I got some names from Jane, and I also got some names of midwives from Natural Resources, which is a store in Noe Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed a couple different midwives. And Maria, we loved Maria from the start. And Maria also passed the interrogation my husband gave her. He asked every, you know, worst-case scenario question, and she made him feel really comfortable. And that's how we decided to switch from traditional care to a midwife. And we didn't do that until about 27 weeks. And I feel sad that I didn't know Maria sooner than 27 weeks, but we started getting awesome care right then. Our appointments were about an hour every time. Maria really cared about us and made us feel comfortable and answered all our questions. Made Alec feel involved, too. That's my husband. Did I answer all the questions? What was the other question?
So, Anne, this is your second baby. So you had a midwife in New York. For the first one, correct?
That's right.
So maybe
I did.
You can talk about a little bit about that, and then when you came to California.
Well, my care in New York was very different than what I had here, and it's really interesting how I came to midwifery care to begin with. I too went to an OB first in New York City, and he was very competent and seemed very together. And for those of you out there listening who are pregnant for the first time, it can be so thrilling and exciting, but also terrifying. Who's minding the store? And I think what I realized with the OB was that it's actually that I'm minding the store. And he would say things to me like, well, you know, you'll have some ideas, but basically, you just defer to me. I know what I'm doing. And his assistant actually said to me, I would love to be your doula, and my job is to make you the best patient possible.
Ugh.
And a light went off in my head like, wait a minute, isn't this my baby? So we switched at the last minute to midwifery care and had Oliver, my 2-year-old, at a birthing center in New York City. And we had a great experience, but it was interesting coming here and meeting Maria. One thing that Maria's appointments were longer and more about me, and also the aftercare was really interesting. Maria said, well, with your midwife in New York, how many postpartum visits did you have? And my husband and I looked at her. Postpartum visits? So that was something that was very different here. We had postpartum visits. We had, I don't even know how many, countless postpartum visits. And
We're still having postpartum
visits. And also just some fun visits. And also, I think also because I had a home birth as opposed to, I'm also sleep deprived,
birth center,
that's where it was, as opposed to a birth center birth, it was really more my birth. I was thinking about it on my way over here, that at the birthing center, my midwife, Barbara, once it came time to push, she said, all right, and she had an idea of how it was going to go and where I was going to be and how that was going to happen. And with Maria, it was really more, how are you feeling, what do you need, what's going on? So It was different. It was more personal, I think, with here than it was in New York. But maybe that's just East Coast, West Coast.
So Jamie, you had some care in the hospital prenatally.
Yeah.
And midwifery care. So what were the two of those?
Well, like? I went to my first. I knew I was pregnant, and I went to confirm it. And I was, I guess, about 7 weeks pregnant. And my doctor, I asked about the option of home birth. It's a local HMO here. I don't want to say the name. basically told me that the only things delivered at home were pizza and newspapers.
Oh.
And I started to cry, and she pretty much said, don't get your panties in a bunch. This is 9 months away. And I thought, no, it's 9 months away. My panties are in a bunch. So I had known from a friend. I had always known I wanted a home birth. And I had known a friend who's part of the home birth, a Bay Area Home Birth Collective, which is a local collective made up of all, I don't know, about how many, 15 midwives?
Right now we're eight.
Eight midwives. They have a great newsletter and a website. So she had recommended a couple of midwives to me, Maria being one of them and another midwife named Sue Balin. And I started the interview process, and I had no idea how to interview a midwife. But my yoga teacher, who her name's Marisa at Yoga Garden, I did prenatal yoga with her, suggested this interview technique, which is the SHIT has hit the fan. Mm-hmm. Everything has gone wrong. It's a complete disaster. Who do you want with you? And I met with Maria, and I said, I want you with me. So that's how I decided on Maria. And other than that, because I got Maria so early on, I went to one class. This HMO, their whole prenatal care is to send you to a big class with about 15 other moms, and they teach you the silliest, most basic nutrition. And I just was like, come on, I'm more knowledgeable than this, and I want to have a bigger part in my own birth. And so when I started with Maria, you know, like Melissa and Anne said, the visits were an hour, they were about me. But I really liked that Maria didn't, whenever I would say, what do you think about this? She was like, well, here's where you can find some research. Here's where you can learn more about it. But she never made a decision for me.
Mm.
And so I felt like it was just really my birth, my baby, I was my own patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that.
Mm, yeah. I'm hearing a few common themes.
Mm-hmm.
Why
don't you repeat those common themes for people listening that might not have picked them up?
Well, it sounds like that in midwifery care, you're not necessarily treated as the patient. We actually call you clients because you're not sick, you're not ill, and so we're not going to turn you into a patient. And basically, I think midwives, one of the strongest things about midwives is that we believe that women are smart. And therefore, I think women are smart enough to make their own decisions. And what was right for me personally when I gave birth was not necessarily right for, you know, you, Jamie, when you gave birth.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell you what to do. What I see the midwife's role is to provide information, to be a facilitator, to be a guide for you along your journey of becoming a mom.
Can I ask you a quick question before you go on from there? That sounds amazing to me, and it sounds like all of these women really appreciated that and felt supported. But do you find that for the average person that's scary because then the responsibility is theirs? Or do you think most women feel, I always had this intuitive sense and this feels right?
Well, that is such a good question, Julie, because I think, you know, so I think that these wonderful women here are no different than the average, quote, average mm-hmm. American woman. So why can't every American woman be empowered to have a birth like this, to feel that they deserve care like this? They deserve not 7 minutes from an OB who's halfway out the door and can't even answer questions, but fully deserve someone who's going to listen to you and have time to answer your questions and have a, you know, a full experience of it. But why aren't most women sort of hip to this is, I think, fear. And this fear has started long ago. Fear has just started at some point in their lives where they start to hear that childbirth is this really scary, painful thing. You've got to go get that epidural. You'll really love it. And somehow by the time women are between the age of 25 and 35, they are already on the track of, I'm going to plug myself into OB care and not ask any questions.
Mm.
And so I think, you know, I think we have to somehow break into that because there's still a lot of women who don't even know about midwifery care. This is why we're here talking
right.
about it, to know that there's some other options.
Mm.
I
think that's
out
a good point.
People.
Yeah.
I would love to speak to that because unlike James said that she knew she wanted a home birth, and Melissa, you said that you always felt like intuitively a water birth was going to be right for you. I had none of that. I didn't really even... I'm 40. I didn't really know I wanted kids, and I was pregnant, and okay, yeah, well, whatever, go with the flow, you know. Called up a friend and said, do you know, like, OBGYN? Because I just went to, for well woman care. I didn't know what I was doing, and so I think what's interesting is that pregnancy is so different than any kind of illness, and that it is true that in our society, we do often hand over our care to somebody else when we are sick and when we are feeling poorly. But there's something about pregnancy itself that can be so empowering that all it takes is one person. And we all, you spoke of one, Melissa, of Jane, who helped you out. And for me, it was once that my OB said those ridiculous things about, well, you know, I know what I'm doing, and you can just shut up kind of stuff, that I asked somebody, and for me it happened to be a massage therapist who did prenatal massages, who said, have you considered midwifery care? So, I mean, it's just about sort of spreading the word, but I feel like it's about knowledge, and so many women just don't have the information. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the information.
That's a good point.
The Bay Area Home Birth Collective, one of our goals, our agenda is that everyone has access to midwifery care, whether it's in the hospital or in a birthing center or at home, but that there's a much kind of more level playing field about the options, and people know much more about the options. So one of our ideas that we're trying to do is offer to the high schools a program about natural childbirth, so that hopefully we can, when these young women haven't had that fear set in yet, that we start to talk to them about it, and they're like, oh, okay, well, this is an interesting thing. You know, somewhere along the line, you heard about, you know, water birth, and you know, so that kind of stuck in your head. It's like, oh, that's a good thing. So we want to get the sort of natural and positive feeling about birth into their minds before they start to have the panic and fear about it.
And is that one of the things you're working on at the event on the 30th, bringing awareness or?
Well, yes. I would say what we're doing on the 30th is to gather together consumers who are interested in supporting midwifery. And there's going to be many areas to plug yourself in, and one of those will certainly be PR. And that could be coming out to the radio stations, coming to the high schools, writing articles for newspapers or letters to the editor, any way that we can have some exposure about midwifery and get to those, not necessarily even young women, but get to any women at all who are of childbearing age and who just need that one little, you know, spark, you know, who says, okay, what is that? A midwife? Oh, yeah, you know. Isn't that some old-fashioned thing? Let me look a little bit further.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that it's not necessarily embedded fear for some people. It's just that we've just gotten trained to, you go to the doctor.
Mm.
And when I tell people I had a home birth, you can see a light go off in their heads like, oh, yeah, I can do that, too. Like, it's an intuition I think that's been forgotten.
Mm.
Well, how's about...
go ahead. I was going to say... I think a lot of my friends who have had hospital births, and when we were all pregnant at the same time, I tried to convince them to have a home birth too, because I thought it was going to be awesome. And a lot of them just thought, I want to be closer to, technology if something goes wrong. And Maria, one of the ways that she convinced Alec that this was a safe way to go was a great study but in the British Medical Journal that showed, I don't remember the statistics, but they were like overwhelmingly convincing, telling you that, you know, having a home birth was as safe or safer under some circumstances than having a hospital birth.
Mm.
And my husband is really not easy to convince, and that study really did the trick. And I didn't have a fear that it didn't seem to me that being at home was scary and bad things could happen there. I felt one of the reasons that I wanted to have a home birth is I felt like it was scary to be in the hospital, because I have heard of a lot of women having C-sections that didn't go in wanting one, and that was something I really didn't want.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. I always find that there's lots of sick people there. There's lots of diseases there. Like, I had one mom that her baby had a staph infection in her eye right after birth, and I thought, how did you get that? You know, I mean, clearly we know staph is all over the hospital, so that's always scary to me a little bit, to be in a place with sick people. When you're not sick and infected, you want to be in the healthiest environment possible.
Well, how's about if we hear some births? Jamie, you want to go first?
Tell us, sure.
Tell us about your birth. We want to know all the details.
I'll spare some of them. Well, first of all, I was 2 weeks late. So if you're listening and you're a first-time mom, you are going to be late. Since you're convinced you're not. My mom had come out from Rhode Island because she thought she was already going to have her grandson. I had an A-team birth team. I had seven people there, all with various duties. Florence was in charge of the tub. Annie was my birth partner. Natalie was a doula. And it was so great to have my mom there. So I went, I had contractions Monday night. They started at 10. And right from the get-go, they were pretty strong, pretty brutal. I called Maria at about 3 in the morning to give her a heads up. And she said, yeah, fill the tub, call the birth team, get them over there. I'll be over at about 5 in the morning. So 5 came and went, and we were all hanging out, playing cards, watching TV, and Maria had to go attend to some other clients, so her assistant Kate stayed with me, her apprentice, and it was looking like I was in active labor. Kate had me get in the tub. You don't get in the tub too soon because it can slow down contractions, and so that day, that was Tuesday, that came and went. My contractions were almost always about 6 to 8 minutes apart. About a minute, minute and a half each, and they were getting really, really brutal. And so that was Tuesday. Wednesday.
So hold on.
Yeah.
What does brutal mean?
It's so hard to tell now because you totally forget. brutal. I don't know. I don't want to scare people. I felt like I was being ripped in half.
So you didn't have any pain medication?
No, I did not.
So what were you doing during these quote brutal contractions?
I'd walk around the block.
Just by the way, you didn't look from the outside like they were brutal.
Oh, really?
No.
I guess I managed them well. well, I had so many great people that, at some point Annie would either just have me breathe, or we had, I have a big banister with a long stairway, and we had hooked up sheets so I could hang. It really helped. I would go for a walk around the block, and I was laboring with parking meters and against fences, and cars would stop to make sure I was okay. And I'd say, no, I'm having a home birth. I live right around the corner. It's okay.
Oh.
An ambulance stopped once. So that helped.
This is like on Franklin and Goff.
Wow.
Lots of cars going by.
And actually, it helped being outside because I felt like I could scream, and the universe absorbed it better than my house. My team did a really good job of keeping me hydrated. And they would run out and get me whatever food I thought I could stomach. So that, I think, really helped. And then, the problem, Maria checked me, I think, Wednesday morning, and I was only 3 centimeters. You need to be 10. Then Wednesday went all day. And by Wednesday night, I was, by Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, I was feeling like, shoot, get this baby out. I don't care. I'm going to the hospital. But I recommitted to a home birth, and I said, okay. And actually, during my contractions, I would spell the word recommit. I would spell home birth, and any way I could kind of get through them. And then on Wednesday afternoon, Maria checked me, and I was 4 centimeters. So, and I just looked at her, and I said, are we going to, best case scenario, is this baby going to be born tonight? And she said, no, probably not. So we did some... we did a lot of nipple stimulation, a lot of, we did acupuncture, and that just killed me. And then I was having back labor, which is apparently more painful than regular labor. I think it's all painful. and I lost the ability to walk, and I was on an exercise ball, and I had 3 people supporting me, and the needles were in me to speed up my contractions, and I just said, you know what, I'm kind of done. And Maria said, you've totally proven your salt, and I had to transfer to the hospital. But it was great. Everybody came with me. Maria came with me. And we went. And I actually had him really quickly in the hospital. I had him at 2 in the morning on Thursday morning. And everything went just really great, and I was so happy to have had a midwife. Had Maria. Maria was my advocate in the hospital, and it was crazy because I had made some decisions, but I couldn't remember why. Hmm. I would tell the doctor something, and I was like, Maria, tell her why. So she would talk, and we actually got into a little scuffle about clamping my cord, and Maria just really was calm and talked to the doctor about the research, and it was just really wonderful. And by all accounts, they said, had I had just regular OB care at the hospital, I probably would have had a C-section on Tuesday.
Hmm.
So
now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So you're saying that this was brutal and it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do it over again, would you make a different choice?
About home birth?
About your whole birth experience. Would you have gotten an epidural at the first day, or would you...
No.
So why did you want to put yourself... Why do you want to put yourself through that?
You know, just laboring at home was so great. I got to do whatever I wanted. At one point, we were eating ice cream, playing cards, having a glass of wine. It was like, I got to do whatever I wanted. I could walk up and down the hall. I just didn't want to be on fetal monitors. And I don't think being in the... I would never choose an epidural to not go through any of the pain, and I think that might just be a personal choice. I don't have fear of that pain. I would choose not to have a 3-day birth again if I could. But yeah.
But so it sounds like you were still the decision maker.
Yeah.
You know, you were in control.
Oh, for sure.
Nobody pressured you or manipulated you or made you have that C-section or scared you even into thinking, oh, this is taking far too long. It sounds like you were given the space to basically labor as long as you needed, your body kind of needed
you. Yeah. And, I mean, Maria kept checking my heart rate and the baby's heart rate, and the baby was doing fine, nothing. In fact, when I made the decision to go to the hospital, she said, we could stay here another day or two. The baby's doing great. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I do want to mention something about that. So mm-hmm. Everybody who plans a home birth needs to have a backup hospital available. And even though I fully and totally believe in home birth, I do also believe in the appropriate use of technology. I don't think that it's the most empowering thing for women to go right into the hospital and have an epidural right away, but there's certainly a time and place when those kinds of tools and that kind of technology can be really valuable to us. So in a home birth scenario, if you're laboring away and, you know, the midwife's job is to just make sure that everybody's doing okay. Is the mom safe? Is the baby safe? If that's good, we can hang on. And basically, you know, like Jamie said, we're trying to get the baby born, you know, with the tools that we have at home, herbs and homeopathics and acupuncture and nipple stimulation. But if it doesn't work, then we do also have, you know, Pitocin, and we have ways to get mom some relief if we move over to the hospital. So that's a scenario, too. That's where I feel like it's appropriate. You know, it's very reasonable after 2 days, 3 days to say, okay, I've done enough. Let's see what else is out there to help us. And then, because you had that birth, you had really minimal intervention to actually get him born.
Right.
You know, instead of, you know, 2 days before having the C-section.
Right.
What was the ultimate? Did you give birth vaginally?
Yes, I did. I had I did get to the hospital. I had an epidural, which allowed me to sleep for 2 hours, which was amazing. And I was 10 centimeters after 2 hours.
Wow.
And I woke up and I said, turn it off, because I want to feel the pushing. And I waited. We waited an hour until I could feel the pushing, and then I pushed him out in 40 minutes, which is
wow.
Which
is great.
Quick.
Which is great for a first-time mom.
Yeah. And it was great. Maria was over me. We had a little bit of trouble with the staff who copped a little bit of an attitude with a home birth transfer. And so it was great because Maria just kept kind of talking over me and saying, you know, Jamie, catch your baby. And at the last minute, I was able to sort of push the doctor out of the way and catch my baby.
I think that was a great use of technology. It's very minimal amount just to kind of get you through that last little hump. And also just that little caveat that the first birth is the hardest. And that's where we certainly run into more transfers and things like that.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Reality Sandwich on KPOO San Francisco. This and any of our past shows are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. Now back to the show.
Well, I think just because it's the second birth, I had a little idea of what, I just kind of knew my body a little bit because I had a natural childbirth with the first one as well. And I'd had doctors in the past tell me, oh, you're going to have a tough time having kids with your narrow hips, and which it's really not true at all. We kind of knew what we were in for, and I just wanted to say, Melissa, you're talking about your husband being swayed by that article. My husband was completely convinced by that British Medical Journal article as well. And so I was late with the first one. I was late with Graham as well. And I went into... I had a day and a night of false labor, which is I thought I was in labor, and I felt really like this was it, but it never settled into a pattern, and I called Maria, and she said, take a hot bath and see what that does. I took a hot bath, and they went away, and I fell asleep, and we were very disappointed. But then about 24 hours later, I was putting my two-year-old to bed, and I felt the first contraction, and I knew. And I knew with my first one, Oliver, I had an 8-hour labor, start to finish, which is pretty fast for a first-time mom. So I was waiting. Jamie's looking at me like she wants to stab me in the eyeballs. So my sister was there to help out with Oliver if need be. And so I was feeling contractions, so I was helping Oliver fall asleep. And then I went downstairs and said to my sister and my husband, I said, all right, we got about 20 minutes till I turn into a beast, so let's do this. So we packed my son's lunch for school the next day and got everything all ready and put our pajamas on. And then within about 20 minutes to a half hour, I was on all fours in the bathroom and ready to just really quick, fast contractions. And my husband called Maria, told her what was going on. And this is the other thing about midwifery care is we had told Maria that with Oliver, with our first child, that it was a really intimate and personal experience for us and for our marriage and our family. So Maria said, I know you guys want to do a lot of this alone, so I'm going to leave you be, but I know it's going to go fast. So Jonathan, you just listen to Anne, and when she says she's ready, you call me right away and I'll be ready to come over. And so we had a good maybe 90 minutes to maybe 2 hours by ourselves of really hard labor. And then I said, call Maria. And he got on the phone, and Maria was there with her second in, 20 minutes. And I don't know how long it was, maybe another 45 minutes or so until I was pushing. And then there was Graham, who's born at 12:15 in the morning. And it was great in our bed, and he hasn't left it since. That's all I have to say.
Oliver was birth center, right?
Oliver was a birth center.
So what do you think was the best part about being at home?
The best part of being at home, the birth center in New York City, I have to say, was great. There was a huge king-size bed, and we all got to lounge in there and connect with each other. I think what was amazing about being at home was a paradigm shift in my head. I remember saying to Maria, it's a wonderful thing, but it's not such a big deal. Here we are, we're at home, and the house is clean. And Maria said to me, it's an everyday miracle. And I'll never forget that, because that's what it felt like. It felt like women have been, I felt more connected to sort of womankind, and that we all just do this. We just have our babies, and we have our lives. I don't know how to explain it. And it was also great. We lived at a 5-floor walk-up in Brooklyn, and leaving, I'll never forget, 8 hours after Oliver was born in Brooklyn, going, making it up those stairs, and getting home was a pain. So we didn't have to do that this time. We were home.
Wow. Maria, before you ask Melissa her birth story, because we've mentioned it a couple times, I'd love people to mention, if you can mention the British Journal.
The British Medical Journal, you can go online. Best thing, I bet you, would be to just Google British Medical Journal. Then when you go there, you go to the archives, and in the June 2005 issue, there is an article called Largest Prospective Study on outcomes of planned home birth, something like that.
Okay.
Large prospective study in North America. I don't remember the wording exactly. But, and just as a little note, in the year 2005, on the BMJ's online, you know, stuff there, that article about home birth received the second most hits out of the whole year.
Wow.
So it was a really popular research paper that people, you know, really wanted to know about. I mean, this is an area where, I mean, this is a pretty much a groundbreaking study because it was so large. It used 5,000 women. I actually contributed data to that research paper. And this is what people have been wanting to know for so long, kind of proof that home birth is as safe as hospital birth, using low-risk women and having hospital backup available. So it's a great study. You can go look at it on there. What I want is Melissa to tell her story, but I think I'm probably going to have to leave before she's done. So I'm just going to say goodbye here, and please come to the September 30th kickoff party for the California Association of Midwives. We are mobilizing a massive home birth advocacy group of consumers and babies and moms and dads and kids and all that. So it's going to be a fun event. It's going to be a picnic. It's at Douglas Park in San Francisco from 12 to 2, and please come out. So now, Melissa, did you you almost had the water birth that you were thinking of? So tell us your story.
Okay. Well, I was getting really excited to get into this birthing tub, which, as home birth moms know, you can rent your birthing tub, and they bring it to your house about 2 weeks before you give birth. So this was sitting in our bedroom for about 2 weeks, and we couldn't wait to get in and use it. But Wiley was 2 weeks late, so it actually sat in our bedroom for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And
Jamie was 2 weeks late, too. So, I mean, I've heard of first-time moms going early, but most first-time moms go late, despite what they want. When I was 13 days late, I had lunch plans with a girlfriend, and I started having contractions at lunch. And Wiley's chipping in here. Wiley, let Mommy tell the story. At lunch I started having contractions, and they were mellow. They were probably like 10 or 15 minutes apart. And I just went through my afternoon having lunch and actually going over to see another friend's baby that afternoon, still having contractions about 10 or 15 minutes. My husband and I went to visit these people, saw their baby, and then we stopped and had chocolate ice cream because that mom said that she had a chocolate milkshake before her baby was born, and we were like, okay, anything to get this baby out. We got home, and we hung out. Alec was watching the World Cup, and I was, you know, managing my contractions, sitting on an exercise ball, rocking on the exercise ball through my contractions. This time, they weren't really, you know, they hurt, but they were definitely manageable. I always describe them as, I describe them as like a concentrated, intense period cramp. Like, it hurt, but it wasn't, definitely wasn't thinking I needed drugs at that point. And at about 8 o'clock, we called Maria. And she asked us how we were doing, and we gave her the report. And she told us to keep doing what we were doing. I could take a shower. I could sit on the exercise ball. I could walk. And to call her a little bit later when we needed to talk to her again. Around midnight, my water broke, and we talked to Maria again. And she told us to keep doing what we were doing. We were doing good. Alec and I and our dog Suki was there, and actually having Suki at the birth was something that we had sort of hoped we could have. So we were all just hanging out in the bedroom, getting through the contractions, Alec filling the birth tub, which took about 2 hours. It takes a long time to fill that. And around, I guess around 1, Maria came and checked me and told me I could get in the tub, which I was so relieved about. And the tub does not take away the pain, but it is a kind of pleasant experience. I love taking baths, so for me it felt really good to just get in the water. And here you go, Wiley. To just work through my contractions in the tub. They were still, they really hurt. Again, it felt still like really bad period contractions, concentrated. That's how I put it. It certainly wasn't anything that I couldn't handle, and it was a challenge, but it was a challenge that I was, you know, into getting through. And I actually, you know, at this time, I remember my husband and I wanted the birth to be fun. I remember in our home birth class, we said we wanted the birth to be fun. And at this point, I'm saying this is not fun, but it still was sort of an adventure. He and I looked at it as an adventure that we could go on together, and we were doing that. Around 3:30, Maria checked me, and I was 10 centimeters, and that was time for me to start pushing. My labor had gone so quickly. I had 10 centimeters so quickly that we thought the baby would be coming soon. Maria called her backup midwife, the one that comes when the baby's actually coming, and she showed up shortly thereafter. And everybody thought the baby was going to be there soon. I pushed for a while in the tub, and Wiley came down a little bit, but he kind of stalled in there. He, not stalled, but got stuck. It seems like his head was coming down and hitting my pelvis in the wrong way. So I got out of the tub, tried pushing on the bed, tried pushing while walking on the stairs, tried pushing on all fours, on my back, and we did lots of stuff. And throughout the whole thing, I never felt scared because I was really confident in Maria, and she was checking the baby's heartbeat, and she was, you know, checking me, and everybody was healthy. The pushing took a lot longer than anybody expected since the dilating had gone so quickly. At about 3.5 hours of pushing, you know, we were wondering what was going on. Maria told us that the average first-time mom pushes for about 1.5 to 2 hours. And at 3.5 hours, it seemed a little crazy that I was still pushing, and Wiley had actually made no progress since the first time we had checked him, since I'd been pushing. So Maria gave me some options. She said we could keep going, or we could, you know, try to go to the hospital and see if they could maybe help. And, of course, I didn't want to go to the hospital, but I started thinking that that decision was sort of an ego decision for me. I felt like, you know, this baby isn't moving, and I really want to have a home birth, but the best decision might be to help him get out as opposed to me having this home birth that I envisioned. So we pushed a little longer, and there, Wiley just got taken by someone else, so now I can concentrate on my story. We decided to push for about another half an hour just to see if I could get him out. The midwives were doing all sorts of tricks with manipulating my pelvis and trying to make some more room for him to get through, but it just appeared that his head was coming down and had sort of locked in at the wrong angle. So we decided to go to the hospital. I took a shower, which everybody teases me now for taking a shower, but I took a shower, put on my bathrobe, and we all loaded up into Maria's car and drove to UCSF at rush hour through the Mission, so that was really pleasant, having contractions in the car. We finally got to UCSF, and when they saw me, they initially said that I might have to have a C-section, and of course, there's no way I'm having a C-section. I don't want one. I know I don't need one. So after being examined by two people, Maria being my advocate the whole time, keep reminding everybody I don't want to have a C-section and that I believe I can push him out, we got permission from UCSF to take an epidural for a little while. I think I had one for 45 minutes to help me relax a little bit. and they said that I could have a I could have an opportunity to try and push him out, but if that he didn't come out, that they would send me down the hall for a C-section. So after 45 minutes on epidural, they gave me the clue, they told me that I should start pushing. I pushed, and Wiley came out, and it was so wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah. They helped me. They helped turn his head slightly with some forceps, but he came right out, and he was healthy, and I didn't have a C-section, and it was awesome. And having Maria there at the hospital was key because she helped me not get scared and get wrapped up in what the hospital wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And had I gone there without her, I might have thought I need to have a C-section, even though in my gut and in my heart I knew I didn't. But having her there reassured me. And, you know, we had an awesome birth. We stayed in the hospital one night. We went home the very next day. And since then, we've had all care from Maria. She's come to see us at home. That's where she has her appointments when your baby first comes, and it's been wonderful. I regretted not having the morning after in bed with my husband and son, but I feel like we did the right thing for mm-hmm. Wiley, and it was still a wonderful experience with Maria and our dog and my husband and the birth tub.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say Jane Austin was our home birth teacher for a class, and she brought up a really good point that I think it's important to remember in midwifery care, which is doctors do what they're trained to do, which is treat pain.
Mm-hmm.
And childbirth, I think Anne kind of touched on this, childbirth is the only pain that's not illness-related.
Right.
So you get in there, and they want to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, shockingly, was so hands-off that a couple of times I was like, well, shoot, I guess I'm not in any more pain than anybody else, because she's just sitting there like,
right.
You can do this, you know? But midwifery is hands-off. They mm-hmm. let the birth process happen until something goes wrong. And
right.
The minute you go into the hospital, they assume, I'm going to fix you, I'm going to get you hooked up to things, I'm going to cut you,
right.
I'm going to, you know, give you pain meds. And we have to remember that they're not doing that out of evilness. That's what they're trained to do. So they feel they're helping.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's a constant, as Melissa said, I was so grateful to have had midwifery care even in the hospital because Maria is such a good advocate. And
right.
And they come at you really fast with technology.
Wow. Well, we have only about 3 minutes or so left, and I want to give another announcement out here for the California Association of Midwifery, who's having a kickoff picnic to mobilize a grassroots consumer effort towards midwifery and natural childbirth, and that's on September 30th at Douglas Park in San Francisco from noon to 2. And I'm guessing that you can probably find more on the Home Birth Collective website.
Bay Area Home Birth Collective. It's an acronym. Yeah. And it's .com, .org?
I think it's .org. I'm not sure, but you could probably Google it.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing. If you're pregnant and out there listening, that pushing your baby out all by yourself with people around to help you and to care for you is the most amazing, empowering thing you can do. And I think, Jamie, would you agree with me? And
yeah.
Melissa, would you agree with that?
I would completely agree with that.
I know it's easier for me to say with my 8-hour and 4-hour labors, but I think it's an amazing thing.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that the website is bayareahomebirth.org.
Great.
bayareahomebirth.org.
Thank you for that. Well, thank you all for being here today. It was so wonderful to get your stories and your experience of home birth and natural childbirth, and also the whole full range of when it's easy, also when it's not so easy, and also seeing that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be, you can do what you want, you can have it the way you want, and if it doesn't go quite that way, you have other interventions, but you still have the choice to even do that to some extent to the way that you want. So you have a lot of choice within that whole world. Is I think as long as you have a mindset of, you know, what you're looking for, you can make the best decision.
It's a model of care as opposed to, like Melissa saying, ego, like instead of setting your mind on a birth experience.
Right.
It's a whole model of care.
Right, right. Yeah. And then you have that mindset, so no matter what environment you end up in, you can make a choice that's mm-hmm. consistent within that. Even
yeah.
if you are in the middle of getting some medical intervention, you
sure.
still have choices within it on how to engage. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So you have been listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. And every Thursday at noon, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind and the body. And so stay tuned every Thursday and hear more. We have on some amazing guests coming up in the future. And we recommend you go to our website, healthfulliving.org, as well as the website realitysandwichradio.com, and you can download this show or any of our past shows. So thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Reality Sandwich on 89.5 KPOO, San Francisco. This show and any past shows of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com, where you can also read about upcoming shows. To learn more about Julie Matthews or Martin Matthews, go to healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening.